This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Mike Shope.
You might be mocking me or you might be staunchly agreeing with me. I can't tell.
I'm mocking you.
And the Bulldog.
What is Fozzie Bear's role in this production?
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Well, not that you care, but last time the Bills played on a Monday night, it was Tuesday. The next day was Tuesday. And
that's usually how weeks work.
Yes, usually. And I, you know, I wasn't thinking we would do reverse AFC power rankings. We didn't push them to Wednesday. Tuesday, I sort of like, I get a jolt of energy, a little bit more relaxed during the day. One less thing that I have to, you know, figure out with you. We're just going to roll out the power rankings and be on our way. The Wednesday, that was beautiful because I never even remembered it that week. Oh, then I get here like, oh yeah.
Uh-huh, right. It's a gift.
It is a gift.
It's a gift.
Or a gift. And I would say this week has been different, though. Today, I've been maybe a little bit lax. Because all day I've been like, oh, we got the power rankings.
Yeah.
I stopped short of like actually preparing anything for them. Just, you know, what do I want to do? What do I want my voice to serve for here in this power rankings effort? I didn't go that far. But I just have been, and there's a hockey game too. Just sort of a little bit casual here today. We might play Brandon Bean. We've got Sal.
Casual Wednesday. Oh. I've never really heard that phrasing, but you know, whatever.
I'm putting myself out there.
I find it interesting that whatever. We covered this three weeks ago when they played on Monday night last. Like I feel like the show edict has been we don't do the reverse AFC power rankings on a Tuesday if the Bills play on Monday night. So a few weeks ago when you wanted to do that or thought we were going to do that, it kind of blew my mind. Like I think it's just how different, you know, we approach things. I feel like schedule type stuff, that's my department. I'm good with that. Like I don't think we've ever done them after the day after a game. Like, it's just the game. Nobody wants to hear. Oh, I don't know. Maybe, but like I don't feel like I want to have people hearing me talking about the New England Patriots at 3 o'clock on a Tuesday after a Monday night football game when the Bills played Jacksonville. Like, that just doesn't really work. It's not optimal in my opinion. And I think we've always sort of known that. Maybe we never really even said it. It was just sort of obvious. Like we're not opening the show today, a day after a game with the power rankings. So today's the same as any other day to me. Is all I'm really getting
Tuesday, almost any other Tuesday.
Sure.
Okay.
Except it's one day closer to the weekend than a Tuesday would be.
That's right. That's so right. Nailed it.
Again, just in case you're wondering how time and works. Days of the week
yes.
work.
Yes.
At least over here at WGR Sports Radio 550, that's how we do it.
Well, let's go. Reverse AFC Power Rankings powered by Empire Electric, your residential neighborhood electrician. Visit EmpireElectricians.com.
Wait, so we're doing this today?
Now we are.
I don't know what the heck to do at the top here.
Oh, it's easy.
Yeah?
All right. Cleveland is buried.
Okay. Fine. I mean, there's, I think, three or four, maybe not that many, two or three, I think I want teams that I think you could make a reasonable case for. Cleveland is definitely one of them. So I shouldn't say I don't know what I, what I really should have said was do whatever you want to start here, because I don't, you know, Cleveland, yes, I think Cleveland with Watson and now trading Cooper, they, yeah, buried is a good way to look at them.
Except it's the top, not the bottom, so whatever the opposite of buried is. But yes, there are four, what you're saying, there's 4 1-win teams in the AFC. I mean, I think New England, it's promising. Let's see what happens. They've got their quarterback. Let's see what happens. At least they've done that. Tennessee, less so.
The defense is good, so I wouldn't want to. And they're playing the Bills this week, so for karmic reasons, maybe I wouldn't want to like stump for them being at the top of this. Jacksonville was the one really to me. Like it, my opinion is, for what it's worth, which is not a whole lot, probably is that if they were if they weren't in England for a second consecutive week, Doug Peterson would have been fired already. That's what I think is happening there. Like, the guys on that team must feel like they are just in a holding pattern because they're in England. So, like, that's not a good place to be. But the Browns are similar enough. I mean, or really maybe worse off. Both are committed to quarterbacks who aren't playing great. Lawrence has been way better than Watson, but that only has him, I don't know, where's he? In the middle of the pack, maybe?
I think it's a little better. There's more of a chance Lawrence emerges, escapes from whatever the problem is. They'll make the coaching change.
Yeah.
The Browns are going to make a coaching change eventually. Maybe it will be after the season. Maybe it'll be before that. But I don't know. Like, that, what I think, will happen.
What are they going to do with Watson, though? Like,
is it, so far, they're not going to do anything.
Is a new coach going to come in and be saddled with that? That seems fun.
If it's right to think that their coach, Kevin Stefanski, is hamstrung, like, he's not allowed to take Watson out, once in a while, I mean, at one point, at least, his thoughts would turn to, like, oh, my God, and what about next year? Am I going to be able to do it next year, or am I going to still be sitting here? Just let me out.
Right.
But that would be just really depressing, you know? The responsibility you would feel to the rest of the players.
Man, I wonder. Like, that's so tangled up. It would be tangled up for me, I think. I would probably get lost in the weeds trying to justify how I feel about it, what's best for me. I have a responsibility to these guys and their families and all that kind of stuff. But honestly, wouldn't it be most ideal for Stefanski to get fired as soon as possible there and get as far away from the stink? Like, he's been the coach of the year twice. He's got a good reputation. This is killing him, that he has to keep standing in front of microphones week over week while Watson is playing worse than any quarterback in 30 years and say, he's our guy. It's killing him. Like, he'd be better off not having a job right now and then getting into the hiring cycle in February.
Well, there's a lot of money at stake, and I think in the kind of circles the league works in, he'll look good for standing there and doing that.
Okay. That's good.
That appears to be his choice.
Yeah.
Cleveland?
Yes, fine.
15.
I'll go Jacksonville here.
Me too. 14. Raiders.
I was going to say Raiders.
Yeah, you can. You should.
I did.
You still should.
I did.
You did?
I was going to suggest Raiders before you said Raiders. Because, you know, we talked about Tennessee a little bit. We talked about New England a little bit. The Raiders aren't a one-win team, but they're... Come on. But, you know, Brady, part owner now.
Oh, whatever.
Going to help pick the quarterback.
Did you see the details on, like, what he can't participate in now?
Yes.
As a broadcaster? I mean,
just what you need. Just what you want as a fan.
How good is he supposed to be at the job? I thought he'd be really good. I have not been impressed at all. My prediction was he'll be good, and it will drive me crazy, and maybe all of us crazy, if he's really good at this. And realizing that's, you know, each person's sole opinion sitting down to watch football, this has been nothing that has really stood out to me. It's just, to me, another voice that's out there in the wilderness talking about the 3rd and 4 play call choice. But to not be able to go, he can't go to other teams' facilities to visit with the players, All those meetings we always talk. Anytime we talk to these guys, even Sal's been in these meetings. You know, Al Michaels, whatever. Ross. Any Ross Tucker, right? You sit, you know, and sure, a lot of it's just spin that you're getting, like, oh, we like this guy because of this, and then you can regurgitate that in your own words and sound like you had an original thought, when really the coach probably planted it on you and he's got an agenda. But anyway, still, it's a part of the job. Like, get involved, get intimate as you can get with these people, and he's not allowed to do any of that. Nor can he criticize officiating, which I know guys almost never do anyway. But at least Aikman on Monday night was like, I understand what you're telling me to the rules guy. It's a new name. It's not John Perry anymore because he's working for the Bills. But, you know, guy explained it was the Epinesa penalty, I think. The guy explained, well, you know, body weight and whatever. And Aikman said, yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. I just don't agree with it. Which is, you know, that's bold, I think, for one of those dudes.
I think it's interesting to consider what qualifies as being critical, too. I mean, you too, I'm sure, over the years. I've had plenty of times where, like, really? They're upset about that?
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Because, mm-hmm. like, if there's a bad call on roughing the passer in his next game, and he just goes, what? Is that criticizing the officials?
Right.
Does he have a meeting every time? Plus, he's Brady. He'd outrank anybody he met with. Anybody else can sit in that meeting and take notes and give them to him. But that he can't be, like, real on the... Well, I never thought he would be. But that any of these guys... Of course, there are going to be limits. They all want to keep the job. I mean, it's how many easier jobs are there in the world? So you want to keep the job. You're not going to just let loose. But, like, these kind of limitations, it's just a bad look. Because you want to think whoever's in the booth is going to be honest with you. And... when Tom Brady is announcing, you know that that's not going to be true.
Right.
It's not going to be the case.
He's got a vested interest in the fortunes of one organization, which is basically like having a vested interest in all the organizations. He's a part of ownership now.
That's right.
He's on that side of that equation. And, yeah, sure, we all know how sanitized everything is. But this is, like, blatantly just telling you it's going to be sanitized, which they usually try to avoid. You know, like, oh, no, our guys, they're independent. Okay, sure.
13.
Where were we? Okay, sorry about that. Sidebar. I'm
Tennessee.
I'm good with Tennessee.
12. New England?
I'm going to have to go New England now. Yeah.
Okay. It's not like they're good.
No. No, I am, you know, May has been, it's interesting, it's exciting, still a long way from being made, but it's, you know, at least they're doing the right thing now. He's playing. The idea of hiding because the line was going to be bad, I get it, but geez, just get out there. Take some lumps, figure it out.
11.
Indianapolis. Although it does sound like Joe Flacco, that run might be done with Richardson practicing this week.
Right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
May not be that's good for them in the short term.
Yeah, that's what I was maybe going to suggest. Yeah, I mean, I would play Richardson too. But I don't, you know, they're probably not going to get as good a production from the quarterback position as they would if Flacco were playing. So that has to decrease their opportunities to win, you'd think. You know, unless Richardson starts smashing all of a sudden, which, you know, could happen. He's got a lot of talent. I could go Indy here. Sure.
10?
I want to say the Jets.
I was going to go Pittsburgh.
Miami.
Mmm.
Classic impasse.
Let me open the door.
We don't know.
Anybody else out there? We need another vote. No.
Tua coming back. That doesn't have a date on it yet, right? McDaniel did say like he'll play this year, but never set a game. And without him, they are in a really, really bad spot. I'll switch to Miami.
Okay. There it is.
9.
Back on Pittsburgh.
By law, yeah, I guess I have to be on the Jets. Who do you like, Jets or Pittsburgh? You want to pressure one of us to change our pick again?
Do it again.
There are also two AFC West teams that are in the same ballpark here, I think. Steelers. 8. Jets, okay. I every week it's the same. It's the same take.
I know.
They probably should have won Monday night. You know, like they probably should have won that game with the field goals. He missed from 30. Zerline.
Yeah, that guy missed some too.
I know. Outgained the Bills. You know, like just. I think they probably should have won the game. It was close. So I mean now it's Adams. They're 2-4, but there's definitely light at the end of that tunnel for them. It's just a matter of, are they good enough? Is there enough time to get to get to the playoffs? Really, that's the whole point. So I still think they're to be respected.
I will soften on them as soon as I see Rodgers play 2 good games in a row. It just has not happened yet. I don't know that he's physically capable of it. And they've got, you know, TJ Watt and the Steelers this week. So if they come through that and he plays a second good, because he was good. I mean, I know he threw an interception at the end, but he had a good night. And by my eyes, that's the second out of 6 that he's been good, like at a level that could push them to being a playoff team. And 2 out of 6 ain't going to get it done. So if he can back up what he did Monday night with another strong performance on Sunday night, maybe even win or lose, but 2-5 is going to be hard at some point to dig out of that.
Yep.
I'm open to being wrong about it. I mean, I said once a long time ago, I'm open to be wrong about everything. I'm always trying to learn. You never know. You can get dug in and realize, you know what? I shouldn't have started digging here. This is not the place I should be standing. But for now, I still think the Jets are not going to get there. Which is really the same speech I also give every week.
Yes. 7. Denver.
Sure. Okay.
At New Orleans tomorrow night. Is that one you can skip? Is that one where you want to, you know?
That's one where, depending on how the hockey game looks, because the Sabres are in Columbus tomorrow night, right? Pittsburgh.
Is that
tonight,
one you can skip?
I will put my time in with the Sabres, and depending on what the football game looks like when that ends, dip in and out during, you know, intermissions or whatever. I wouldn't say I will ignore the football game, but it's got to be good by the time the hockey game ends. Otherwise, it's not going to keep me.
I'm not sure the odds are great there. 6.
Are the Chargers still available? Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then they have. I can't believe they're 6. Actually.
At Arizona Monday night, 3-2. What's that line going to be? Could they be favored on the road? Have they been impressive at all? Could they be favored there?
They are favored by 2.5.
At the Cardinals?
Yes.
Yeah, I got 3. You're right. Right. Wow. All right, Chargers at 6-5.
Cincinnati?
Yep.
Oh, sure. Yeah, there they are.
Same as last week.
Yeah.
4.
I'll say Bills. Yeah.
Same as last week. 3.
Texans.
Same as last week. 2.
Ravens.
Kansas City.
Ah!
I can't until they lose. I'm a college football voter. I cannot move you down until you lose a game. I'm sorry. I just won't.
I'm with you. I appreciate the effort. Appreciate you throwing yourself on that one, but yeah, I'm Baltimore, Kansas City. Kansas City, you know, they didn't pile up points. They were on the bye this past week, but by their last outing, they moved the ball like crazy in that game. I think that's the best they've looked going back into last year, even.
Chiefs?
On offense, yeah.
Right, against New Orleans. They are at San Francisco on Sunday, and they are an underdog in that game. Niners are favored by 1.5.
Mahomes getting points, everybody.
Yep. Remember a Chiefs-Niners game, not the Super Bowl, but a game in San Francisco last year or the year before where the Chiefs just destroyed them?
I don't remember that. I believe you, though.
It did happen.
I'm willing to take your word for it.
It did happen. All right, reverse AFC power rankings on WGR, powered by Empire Electric, your residential neighborhood electrician. Visit EmpireElectricians.com. Did not appear that either Davante Adams or Amari Cooper meant very much here today in these rankings. At no point did I think, like, but I guess with the Jets a little bit.
Right, but you're almost always there anyway. So you
right,
and it's not going to move it for me because I still think it comes down to the quarterback, and you know I recognize he's going to have a chemistry with this guy, and that's maybe been a big hang up. But I'm just going to need to see it first. I can't get behind that he's going to put the ball everywhere it needs to be put, and get out of the way enough to not get hurt. So I'm still biding my time on that. But yeah, I think. You know, it's, I mean, let's see what it all looks like. You know, I mean, I'm excited about Cooper being on the Bills, and I think he should have a positive impact, even if it's just, you know, other teams initially respecting him being out there, and maybe that softens a little up for Kincaid or Shakir or whatever. Everyone just gets pushed down a notch. I got, you know, maybe better matchups if teams are still going to try to push the man-to-man idea on them. I wonder how much Cooper changes that for teams tactically, you know, going in to play the Bills. Because teams have had, you know, a decent amount of success just manning up and saying, you're not going to beat me.
I feel like this Bills season, I'm on a flight where I knew, like, you're leaving Fort Lauderdale and there are tropical storms in the area. It's safe to fly, but it's not going to be fun for the first, like, half an hour. The pilot might even have to take it all the way over around into the ocean, you know, and go around the weather. And so for the first part, it's going to be rough, and then, you know, you're going to be okay. And that's, I think, this season right now is, I mean, really, of course, we're in here every day talking about everything that happens with them, and a lot of it has been negative. Injuries, wide receivers who can't separate. Where's the wide receiver one? Everybody starves, you know, just all the different things, the schedule, night games and road games, division games. And at 4-2, I think they just cleared that weather. Who knows? Every week can surprise you, but that, for me, is a very good result for them, 4-2 through these six games, with the adversity, if you will, that they've had. So there's that, and then now you put the Cooper trade into it, and it's even more exciting, and I think even more reason for optimism. I don't have any holes to poke in that trade. You know, like, he's maybe not a perfect player. He's 30 years old. You can say, you can find stuff. You can find the ESPN open score and blame him for drops, whatever. I mean, there are going to be people who point to those things, but I don't think I could have imagined the Bills doing much better here before it starts, then this guy for that price, at this time, even more time to acclimate and get them to a point where it's what they need when it matters, which is not week 7.
Yeah, you know, maybe that, I don't think that, I'm glad you said that way, because, you know, I know I was in here right? Like, oh, Davante Adams, that's going to be the deadline. Like, nobody's going to meet that price. Maybe if the Jets win on Monday night, they don't meet that price right now. You know, we'll wait and see. Maybe we can keep getting by. I don't want to have to give up, you know, potentially a second, even a third, whatever. And I don't know, like, Bean already today said, I think maybe we'll hear it here in a little while, that, you know, the Jets doing what they did didn't impact. Like, they didn't go make that trade at that time because the Jets did it. But bottom line is, he's here before November 5th, which is good. I mean, there's three games between now and November 5th, right? So let's go. Get him going as soon as you can.
Maybe it wasn't why they did it then, that it wasn't because of the Jets trade. But like I said yesterday, the Jets set the market for them. And so the Bills didn't have to take that leap. And I think you might be right that the Jet loss was the final impetus for them making the deal. Because how many more games can they afford to lose?
Right.
So Monday morning, or I guess Tuesday morning, sorry, back to my confusion over the days of the week. Tuesday morning, they make the trade. We can't wait another day. He's got to be here. We assume he's healthy. You know, you're probably right on that all along, that he wasn't really hurt.
Right.
And we got to get him on the field Sunday night at Pittsburgh to help us try to save our season. 803-0550. We want to hear from you on the Cooper trade and just how you think the Bills stand here after six games. We will, as Bulldog mentioned, share the comments made by the GM, Brandon Bean. One thing we talked about yesterday and off and on through this whole time is just how he's really felt about what they have been at wide receiver. That's interesting to think about. We'll talk to Sal later as well. We've got the Sabres tonight in Pittsburgh. Paul Hamilton will join us from Pittsburgh for pregame at 6. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, 803-0550 to call in. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.